Social media makes us put on facades and profiles. When they ask you what's up, what's going on, you just need to say tickety boo, boo boo, you know? But it's not like that. It's not true. Because at that time, you had to then park your feelings and then put on a facade. Then the next person says, how are you doing? Because you said it the last time, you know how to just keep it going. But in reality, you've just parked how you really feel. And how many times do you do that every day? Hey everybody, I hope you're all doing well. Welcome to Talking to My Thoughts, where we have open, honest, and raw conversations about, well, our thoughts. The topics will range from anxiety, life goals, relationship, money, work, everything that runs through our head, so you know the possibilities are endless. You're here with Craig Riviere, aka Mr. Positive.
You're here with SJ.
Yeah, it's Troy.
Troy Black. So today we'll be talking about circle of trust. I'm gonna get Simon to explain what this might be about in a little bit. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I came up with today's topic, which is why Craig's throwing it at me. But I wanted to kind of delve into a conversation about where we are in society in terms of trust, I guess, in terms of how we trust within relationships, how we, what kind of effect we've had on our circle of trust and our families and our friends, and how that may have evolved just because of the way society is today. Are we more trusting? Are we less trusting? How do we trust? And just kind of getting into those little conversations about that and how it affects our lives. So that's pretty much what we want to cover today.
That's an interesting topic. That's interesting already, yeah. How openness, vulnerability, trusting people and stuff like that. What's your thoughts on that, Troy? What do you think about trusting people?
Tough. It's a weird subject. I mean, looking at it with everything that goes on in life, you know, can I trust someone? Can I trust someone at work? Can I trust... do I feel comfortable enough sharing thoughts and ideas with someone?
Mm.
You know, whether it be a thing of even your friends, you know, can I trust saying, yeah, I had a bad day, or even, you know, going through health issues.
Mm.
Do I feel comfortable enough conforming and having that conversation? There's a lot around it.
We're going to get straight into it. So as you know, in Talking to My Thoughts, we do literally that. We are literally playing a pre-recording of one of us or multiple of us recording, talking to ourselves about the topic in particular. The reason why we do this is because how you speak to yourself is very different to how you speak to other people. We're always trying to put things together in a nice way so it can be well articulated. But when you're speaking to yourself, that is mumble jumbled all over the place. And that's just the way we want it. So we'll play a pre-recording from me first, and hope you will listen, and then we'll start to, we'll just go from there. You know how it goes. So circle of trust. Trust. Boy, well, more specifically, circle of trust. How do you trust other people, Craig? Well, right now I'm actually smiling. I can actually say that I'm really happy with the circle of trust I have among my friends, among my family, among my brothers, among my parents. Let's take my parents for example. Yeah, we can be quite different with different things. We are very similar. Obviously, they brought me up very strongly, and I had very key aspects or pieces of them. But over the last few years, I've actually learned to have just my own mind about things, my own opinions, my own culture towards it. And I've been very happy and easy to be able to express that to them. It's just nice to be able to, they're always my best friends and we always talk about so many things. And yeah, it's really nice to have them to just speak to. That circle of trust has been there since I was a baby, all the way through to now. They've never let me down. I've always been able to turn to them. Now, I've found new levels of circle of trust among brothers,
other friends, family members, long-term friends as well. People that have been in my life for a very long time, actually. But I never really took them fully for some people I can rely on. As I've said to myself, as you know for yourself, you lived your life like it was just you and your parents, or just you sometimes. Like you just rely on yourself and you think, I can live a good life. I keep control of my happiness. I don't want to let people in. But actually letting people in is where everything comes out. You can live a good life on your own, but you can live a great life with other people. God didn't bless you by being in this world just to be on your own. God also blessed you with a massive environment and a massive amount of people around you as well. God is everywhere in these people. So back to my circle of trust. I have brothers now. I have brothers that I've taken on challenges with. I've opened up about, opened with. And just been free with. The key thing I say is if the environment you're in or the people you're surrounded with do not allow you to be free, then you're not supposed to be there. But I can honestly say I'm surrounded by people who allow me to be free, be myself, and I know that they're there for me. And I don't mean just there for me in the sense of just at my death. That's always what I used to say. I know that these people, well, not always, I used to just say, these people be there for me if I could, just when I'm about to die or something, or something bad happens, I know they'll be there for me. And that's a really comforting feeling. But there's something else you have to remind yourself. Are you going to allow them to be there for you in life? While you're living your high life and while things are good, are you going to allow them to be there for you? Be in your life, be a part of it. Yes, that has risks. Sometimes they can disturb your happiness, disturb your emotions, etc. But there's also the other side to it where they can accelerate your emotions and push it to be higher levels, push you to better places. My circle of trust is strong. I'm actually quite easy to be open with other people, even strangers. I don't mind it. I think I own my own story. I'm proud of it. Proud of where I am today. I'm proud of who I am today. So I'm able to own my own story. Talk about it. Talk about my emotions. Talk about my weaknesses and strengths. Because they are part of me. So I'm actually quite open with friends and strangers and other people. Even at work. I don't mind it. But at the same time, I do know who the people are really there for me. The ones who will check in on my life. Who will see how I'm doing with this particular area of my life. Who will be there for me through the hard times and when I'm in trouble, or when I just need to speak to someone. Through celebrations, through struggle, they're there. My circle of trust is strong. Thank God for that one.
Okay. There's a couple of things I picked up from that. I think it's interesting to understand that there's actually certain levels of trust. My mindset is often like, okay, you either trust someone or you don't. Whereas obviously when you were saying certain things, like when you're with your circle of trust, it allows you to feel free. It allows you to be free. But you're still quite comfortable in many situations, even when you're around strangers, because you're proud of who you are, you're secure in yourself. And it almost, correct me if I'm wrong, it almost shows that you're still trusting of others, even though they're not within that tight-knit circle of trust, which means that you definitely have a different level of strong trust with your circle and then a little bit of trust with other people that are not quite in your circle. How do you kind of manage that and balance that between, obviously, you meeting someone for the first time? How much trust do you actually decide to give to them? How does that actually work?
So people mistake being vulnerable with a level of trust. Like they believe that you can't be vulnerable or open about certain things or certain parts of your life because that means you have to trust them. But actually being open and vulnerable is on you. Because the point is, when you're vulnerable with someone, if you're open, well, if you're open with them, they think that's going to be vulnerability. But actually, if you're open about something that you've gone through or your story, they may laugh, but you know that that's your story.
Mm.
So you could just push them away. Like, I don't know what you're laughing about. Like, I don't know, like a work colleague that does not understand a bit of Black culture. Like, you got beat by your parents, but they didn't get beat for example. they will laugh like, rah, that's a bit mad. You call the police. It's like, it's like, oh, little one, you do not know. The rules don't run that way. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But that's your open, that's your story. But you could switch that around and say, actually, when you told them and they laughed about it, that hurt you. But actually, it doesn't have to be that case. It's your story. There's no reason for you to feel a way about it. You know, it's just a part of your culture. So that's the level of with strangers. I don't have to trust them for me to be open. I just have to tell my story.
Mm.
Now, when it comes to strangers, it's not to say I'm trusting them, like I'm giving them money and I'm thinking that they're going to not take it or something like that. It's just the case that I just have, we keep making this, there's like a mist or this cloud between what is it being open and having trust. But being open is not necessarily that you have to have trust about it. The same way when public speak about your life, do you have to trust everybody in the room when you do it? You don't. It was your life. You don't have to. You're not looking for validation. That's the other part to it, is that when you're telling somebody, you're like, you just want them to give you the thumbs up and say, I hear that.
Mm.
You don't want them to say, oh, that's some rubbish. Like, that's some bull. You live a rubbish life. You don't want to hear that. But you don't have to worry about that. If you remove the validation or what they're going to think about it at all, you won't have to trust them. You just say it. So that, to me, the whole thing about the strangers and openness has nothing to do with trust, in a sense. I trust myself. I trust my story. I trust what I'm saying. Now, the sense of the next level to it is then when you start to trust them to be a part of your life, do things for you, be somewhere with you. Now, this is where the different levels come. Some friends you can turn to today and say, you know what, I'm feeling a bit off. One friend will say, oh, you're Mr. Positive. You'll be fine. Just tickety-boo.
Mm.
And then the next person will come along and say, tell me about it. What's going on? So, oh, you had this problem before. You know what to do. And then the third person will say, let me walk with you. Let me take the steps with you. Let me help you. And then the fourth person will maybe do something completely different. Maybe they'll break their back to help you. Because you couldn't help yourself. You couldn't even walk. But they carried you. This is different levels to that trust in my eyes.
Yeah.
And you don't condemn people. Like, as you said, you either trust someone or not. Does that mean the level one friend, level two friend, you don't trust them because they couldn't abide by what you said.
Mm.
But the level three and four, right, they did a lot for you. No, you just know that this person stays here, this person stays here, this person stays here, this person stays here. You don't know their life. They got things that they can't take on. They don't have capacity. Sometimes they do. One day somebody's saying, oh, go about your business. And the next day is like, what can I do for you? So this is why I like levels of trust. I like, and again, it goes back to the whole validation. What is your expectation of what's going to happen with this conversation? What do you expect from this person? Remove the expectations. Let people be free. Let them love you in the way that they want to love you, whatever, even if it's like nothing, like no love, like a penny worth of love versus a person that gives you £1,000 worth of it. Let them be how they want to be and let yourself be how you want to be as well. It's your story. So yeah, that's my breakdown of that.
So Trey, what do you think about, obviously, trust in terms of Craig saying, okay, vulnerability and trust, they shouldn't really be connected. How do you feel? Because I'll just chip in on that slightly. And I think that there is slightly a bit of trust involved in being vulnerable with someone, just because you're trusting them not to then throw that back in your face.
Yeah.
In a sense. So if you're being vulnerable with someone where, okay, say for example, a coworker, someone that you're not necessarily within your tight circle of friends, your circle of trust. And you're just letting them know, okay, I'm feeling a bit off this week because, I don't know, a family member's passed away and I'm not in that kind of mindset at the minute. You're then being vulnerable with them.
Mm.
And in a sense, you're still trusting them not to be like, ah, it's fine, get over it, whatever. You're expecting them to kind of give you a little bit of sympathy in that respect. Mm. So I think that there may be a little bit of connection between that vulnerability and that trust. What was your kind of take on that?
That's a big thing for me at the moment, because even for me, I'm struggling with mental health issues at the moment, sorry. And for me, having to even be at work and having to say to my manager that, like, can I pull you to one side, like, I ain't gonna lie, I'm having issues. You know, that within itself, that was hard for me.
Yeah.
For a period of time. I think what helped was having that support network of me knowing that, all right, cool. As a manager, you were willing to take out time and what's happening with you. And that kind of broke down that barrier of, yeah, man, he's just a work guy, man. Do you know what I mean? To be even, to go in there, to have that conversation. And for me, it's, as I'm having it, I'm like, it's crazy. Cool. Let me do it. And then from that, it allowed me to, you know, he's like, if you got problems or whatnot, sometimes you ain't got to explain it, but if you need time off, whatever, I'm here, I'm supportive.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So then that kind of grew my confidence a bit about speaking about it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because I was very quiet with those things, you know, even because I've got the friends. Half do probably know, half don't.
Yeah.
Not to say I don't trust them, but it's trusting myself to be able to speak about it enough to say, yeah, you know what? Boys, it's gone left. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that isn't easy. So, it's a weird space. For me, it's a weird space.
I like that key piece that you said. We externalize a lot of things. We keep thinking, do we trust them? What are they going to say? What's the expectations? And in the end of it, it's nothing to do with that. It's, do I even trust myself to acknowledge I'm in this space right now? Acknowledge this was my story. Yeah. Acknowledge where I am today, I'm grateful for. And the only way I could have got through today is living through that story.
Yeah.
So that means that story is valid, which means I need to accept it as valid and trust myself. It's okay to speak about it because this is what was necessary.
Yeah.
Like, even if it was, I don't know, you was mandem from the hood, but then you was an office in the bank, in banking. Yeah. Maybe some people want to hide that story and say, I don't trust these people. They ain't going to understand. Mm. But that story is what got you here. You're still in the same place as them. It's not about, and again, if the environment doesn't allow you to be free, maybe you shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And if the people don't allow you to be free, if your boss like told you, wait, get over it, bro. Like, let's get onto this work thing. We've got stuff to do. It's time to resign.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't trust themselves to do that because then they think, "Wow, maybe he's right. Maybe I was the one that was. I'm not the right position. I should just fix up."
Yeah.
Very toxic. You trust yourself, and you realize, no, boom, this is my story. I am struggling. I don't have capacity. What you're saying doesn't even benefit me. And you know what? You're not benefiting me.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah.
Have that respect for yourself. Have that trust for yourself. And this is where you just take your. And you go, you know, and be appreciated somewhere else and be free with somewhere else. So thank you for sharing that, though. That's a big deal. A lot of us is, we have that sometimes. Sometimes I'll be missing work and I'm like, can't be asked to deal with it. And then you miss work 2-3 days and you're like, I ain't done work for 2-3 days. Now I can't even look at my boss in the face. Then you trust yourself and you're like, no, come on, I just got to do this. Look, if he says something, just say, boom, like you were just going through things. So you know what, boss, I'm going to pick up the time. Go to the workplace. He says, yo, what's up, bro? You cool? Everything all right now, yeah? Hope you're a bit feeling better and all stuff like that. Like, let's get this on. I was like, yeah, so how'd that task go? Yeah, no, I'm just getting on with it. A bit behind on stuff with some of the stuff. So, yeah, cool. Just let me know if you need any help. Like, wow. You want to help me? I just took time off. And you want to help me?
That's within itself. That's someone that wants to help you. And I think that is, you having to be open enough to say, you know what? I need the help.
Mm.
Times we had to come. I have a conversation with Craig this week. I struggle to ask for help, but I know I need it. Do you know what I mean? So I think that within itself, that's a big thing. Do you trust other people to help you? That you know, that's a major thing.
Cool. All right. Well, I'll play my thoughts, and then we'll kind of jump back on that topic. So, the circle of trust. Interesting. I think it often comes down to your family values. Trust is such a hard thing to gain once you lose it. And I try not to give trust to people straight away. It's just something I've learned. Experiences in life, trust is such a hard thing to gain. And for me, again, when it goes back to family values, I try and make sure that I show that I can be trusted as much as possible. Because it's a give and take. You got to show people the same respect as they're showing you. And it's very important that you're around people that you trust 100%. My circle is quite tight, to be fair, in terms of friendship, in terms of trust, in terms of the people who I feel I can rely on. It's a select few. And I don't know if that's any different to how it was back in the day. But with social media and the digital age, are we more susceptible to trusting people just based on what we see now? Because we all know that it's a facade. It's not real. A lot of the time, what you see in social media is only what people want to show you. Fact. So for me, trust is an important aspect in any relationship. If you don't have that trust, as far as I'm concerned, that relationship is broken. You don't even really have a relationship. And this even is related to your partners, when you're with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife, or whatever. If you don't trust them, why are you with them? There is no point in being with someone that you do not trust.
I'm on a rant there, boy.
Simon, real quick, thank you for having us right here. You need to be in my yard right now and just know you must trust me. But no, your circle of trust is tough. It's a strong, it's almost like a, remind me of like a castle. And you've got a moat and you've got all things that you've got crossings, like, prove yourself, cuz. No, but on a real, it's admired. Because that circle of trust, you have a level of control over your life as well.
Mm.
You have a level of the people you trust, you also invest your time into. And it's good to trust the right people and trust the people that are giving back to you, because you know that as an investment works, whatever you invest, technically you're trying to see a profit from. Mm. Don't invest it and it just goes down the drain, and or it gives you minus profits when it takes it away from you for no reason. You're trying to see that when you invest into something, invest into people, it's coming back to you. Now, the thing I resonate with the most, because obviously my talk was all happy chappy, you know what I'm saying? But as some of you don't know, it wasn't like that before.
Mm.
As I said at the beginning, my circle of trust is with my parents.
Yeah.
I didn't have that, like, relying on other people back in MSN days or back in like all BlackBerry days, whatever. Everyone just used to see me, I'm Mr. Positive now, and everyone just sees me as positive because that's all they kind of see or know through social media. Mm. Again. But then that's why when it comes to, I'm feeling a bit down, someone's just going to be like, your social media says you're Mr. Positive. Mm. You just pick yourself back up, right?
Mm.
So then you're like, I was looking for a bit more. But you know what? I made this facade, right?
Mm.
Or not a facade, a profile.
Yeah.
So my circle of trust was only my parents. I relied on them, everything. I'm telling you, I didn't rely on nobody. None of my boys, no friends, no partners, no nothing.
Mm.
I just relied on my parents. And I'm grateful for that. That I had my parents I could rely on for anything I need, money, emotional stress, or like talking about work, anything, they were there for me.
Yeah.
And I honestly felt I didn't need anything else, you know? I didn't clock on that I might need to look a bit further until my parents left the country and I was living on my own. And I never felt alone. I've never felt alone at all. But I thought, you don't really have nobody to wind down with when you when you come back from work anymore. You don't really have anybody to speak to. Is that okay? Do you think you can go on like that? Do you just video call them? And do you think that you should probably maybe consider what about your other friends? Now, to just give you a bit more context about this, my friends to me, everyone has friends, but what a lot of my friends didn't realize, friends, even some family members, they were options to me. As I told you, life is good. So I didn't rely on them for work. I didn't rely on them for education. Again, the people I relied on that supported me were my parents, nobody else.
Yeah.
I didn't rely, people could, I don't even know when like any of these people could have said that I came to them like, yo, I need some help. I need some advice. Or I went through some relationship stuff, or I had an argument with my parents. I never come to them. I drove it on my own, or I just come to my parents. So that means I didn't have that circle of trust or openness with them. Not because I wasn't, like, I didn't trust myself about the openness, but just didn't feel like I rely on you. I was always self-reliant. Really great place to be, especially when people start coming in your life, you still have that self-reliance. But actually, life can be great when you just start to open up to people. So my parents left and a lot of other things happened at the same time. I just started to say, you know what, when simply, how are you doing? Now today, just before they opened it, you just looked at your to-do list and you got like 30 items. You're like, oh my day, it's mad. And then they say, oh yeah, well, how are you doing? You say, yeah, you know, I'm cool, babes. So then I started testing it. I just said, you know what? Let's be real. In all honesty, my to-do list is looking a bit mad. Work is mad right now. I just missed a couple of days. I've got bare things to do. Yeah. Da, da, da. Some people, to general response, Mr. Positive, you got this. Bless up. Save for that. And then some people be like, well, tell me about it. Like, what techniques are you doing to get through your to-do list? What kind of things? What are you going to talk about? What's on your mind? What's been holding you back? And you're like, rah, I didn't even expect that from you.
Genuine care.
Honestly, and then you already know, you gauge their friendship like, oh yeah, they're that friend over there. But actually, then they start to show themselves. I'm like, rah, let's start opening up. And not with an expectation. I wasn't being vulnerable or open up for an expectation. I was open up because it was my story. Again, social media makes us put on facades and profiles. When they ask you, what's up, what's going on? You just need to say tickety-boo, boo-boo. You know, but it's not like that. It's not true. Because at that time, you had to then park your feelings and then put on a facade. Then the next person says, how are you doing? Because you said it the last time, you know how to just keep it going. But in reality, you've just parked how you really feel. And how many times do you do that every day? How many times do you do that every week, every year? All of a sudden, you're not even listening to yourself anymore. One of the most scariest things for people to do is sit inside the room on their own with no distractions, no friends, no Netflix, no YouTube, no music, no nothing, and listen to your thoughts and ask yourself, how are you doing? Then you realize, rah, I really put you on the side. I really backseat you just so I can look fancy in this car. It's like having a Lamborghini in the front and in the back of it is just some broke down Peugeot. Because you look good on the face of things, but behind it, there ain't nothing there. So this is like, for me, I started testing this. And when I started doing that, it just made it easier. My circle of trust increased ridiculously. And then God started to bless me with certain people that come into your life. And again, me always, some people who believe in God, they say, oh, it's just me and God. And I'm like, I fully agree with you. And then sometimes I'll ask you, do you believe God is inside of you? I said, they say, yeah, of course I believe God is inside of me. I say, cool. Do you believe other people believe God is inside of them? I say, yeah, of course they do. Probably.
Yeah.
Do you believe that there's you, God is inside of you, and God is inside all these people? So when you ask God for help and they reach out to you and they ask you how you're doing today, today was your day for you to say, you know what, I'm not doing all right.
Yeah.
I need help. And then you're like, ah. But then you're always saying, God, when are you going to bless me with something? When are you going to help me? When are you answer my prayer? But he's been answering your prayers all the time. But again, your mind of what you think trust means and what it means to trust people is so closed off that you just start, you don't even trust people. You all of a sudden, you have a circle that's of 10 people that have proven themselves over the years. But now because you're so much older, you're going to be more protective about who you're going to allow into this circle because you'll say, nah, they can't do this. But then the 10 people you had, you couldn't turn to them.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough. But God's been trying to give you more. But you've been blocking it like, nah, requirements are too high up in this place. This castle's too tall. You know what I'm saying? But actually, you could just open the gate and see who comes in. Obviously, if they don't abide by it, then it's right.
That's about vulnerability as well, though. Why opening the gate and letting people in? It's about how willing you are to be vulnerable with those people. Yeah. I think more so from me, when I was obviously talking on that voice note, is that my circle of trust is tight. And it's not because it's tight because I don't want to let anybody else in. It's because, as you said, those are the people for me that have shown that I can trust them. It's all about a give and take as well. I trust you as much as you can trust me. I'm willing to obviously put my trust into you, but if you're not giving me anything back and it's like you've shown me that I can't trust you, I'm not going to give you that again. I'm not going to be vulnerable with you again because you've proven to me that you can't, you're not responsible enough, or you're not, I can't trust you with my vulnerability. So yeah. once you lose it, as I said, when I was saying the voice note, it's like, once I give you my trust and you've lost it, it's very, very hard to get that trust back. Trust me.
Yeah.
It's very hard. Sometimes for some people, it's almost impossible. You ain't getting it back, bruv. I gave you that opportunity. I gave the opportunity for me to be able to trust you and you've let me down. I can't do that again. I'm not going to do that. Just because you're being protective of yourself as well.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on it, Trey? On, I guess, what stuff from me and Simon have even shared? Anything changed from the time that you started to now as well?
I suppose when I think back to trust and trusting people, as Simon said, family values. Like, firstly, coming from the background, coming from the Caribbean heritage, it was, you don't trust no one. You don't trust no one. You keep everything in-house. Do you know what I mean? You have a problem, keep it to yourself. Trust stays me. In the house. That's it. So growing up and your environment changes. You go through secondary school, you know, you start to gain friends. Can I trust them? But no, you know. And then, and then it's a thing of, you start to, even now, sometimes I still do it where I wait, I listen, have conversations, and then when I start to pick up things I believe we can identify on. Like, even things from, I'm from South London, but he's from East London, but both grew up in a school where, you know, it was really rough. And you're like, all right, we've got an identifying point. You come from a similar background to me.
Yeah.
So I feel probably a bit safer trusting this person versus someone that's, you know, I don't know, come from Suffolk.
Yeah.
Suffolk, not Suffolk. You know what I mean? That's way in the country, right? You know, don't have an understanding of anything.
Yeah.
Do you know? Things like that. I think my first real moment of trust probably came in secondary school. So in secondary school, I used to just sell sweets and all that kind of stuff, whatever. Mm. Remember one time, mom said, you're leaving the yard. You're staying inside. I was like, oh, my business, what am I going to do? I was killing it. The streets need me. And then my boy Jason, he came back. He walked from Forest Hill to where I live. Walk-wise, probably about 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. He walked all the way from his house, come to my house, collected the money for what I needed for school. So don't worry, I got you. Went there, bought all the stuff, brought it back, and then went home. I was like, bro, that's mad. I ain't asked no one to do that for me. I'd rather do everything myself. So for him just doing that, that showed a trust and a loyalty, like, oh, this guy's really got my back.
Mm-hmm.
And then as years grew on, it's confide. You confide about some stupid stuff sometimes. Yeah. Stupid. Yeah, you know, messed up, you know. You know what I mean? So that was probably my first real instance of trust.
Mm.
Like, bro, I mean, relationship trust, that's a whole other thing.
You said it's give and take, innit? As you said, you wasn't sure whether you was able to trust him until that point where he showed you that he could be trusted.
Yeah.
And then in return, you then gave him more trust, I'm assuming. Yeah, so that's how it works.
It is a beautiful relationship from there. It goes. Man. What I was going to ask, when meeting people, right? Social media, meeting people on social media versus meeting people in person. How does your trust change in how you go about making those relationships? Because for me, in person, just from communication, I can kind of suss out a bit in your body language, your demeanors, and I'm like, okay, cool. Social media is just text.
Well, the thing is, I think with social media, everyone's only willing to show themselves in the best light.
Yeah.
So you're only really going to... That's the only real part of them you're going to kind of know is the part that they want you to know.
Yeah.
And I guess even when you meet them for the first time or you're meeting people face to face as well,
yeah,
they're always going to always show themselves in the best light. It's everything about a relationship is about the journey, isn't it? And about, again, eventually getting to that point where you start giving and taking. I'm not very much involved in social media for many different reasons, but that's one of the reasons why as well. I just think a lot of it is quite fake.
Yeah.
People aren't really true to themselves on. So I'm not saying everybody is, but a lot of the time people are only on there to kind of just show off and do whatever.
Colorize.
That's so I'm also will let Craig kind of jump in terms of meeting people, social media versus in person, because I don't have those full experiences.
I don't appreciate discrimination. Man, ain't no social media star. No, but definitely, I learned it. I use it a lot more than Simon. Simon's about 10 years older than me, minimum. key part here is about how you present yourself on social media, how you present yourself in person when you meet someone from social media. Don't enter the room saying, do these people like me? Enter the room saying, do you like these people? You understand? And that will change your whole entirety. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I have some awkward conversations, not even awkward, but I have some intense conversations from get-go.
Yeah,
I could find myself meeting someone for the first time and I'm asked, so what's your deepest fears? And they're like, oh, I thought we were just going to have some food and just be nice about it. And I was like, nah, I'm trying to get the real things about it, you know? And I like the thing that you said, you mentioned, like meeting someone in person versus social media. Social media is like emotions is not there, body language, all that. There's a lot you gauge when you meet the person in person. But at the same time, I've built strong relationships with people on social media.
Mm-hmm.
People that have supported my videos. Again, things about the stuff that people do. People share your videos, support your videos, comment on it. Message you, DM you, all these kind of things. Now, because this social media seems very different to the way you build trust, but funny enough, doing all that, you put out yourself into the social media, they've gone and reposted it, commented it, supported it. You can't ignore that there's something there.
Yeah.
Not in a like a loving way, but there's a level of trust that you can have in them to do something. So he's like, you know what? It's more about time and effort. You're investing some of your time and effort into me.
Yeah.
Maybe I should invest some of it into you. And I think this is the main thing. Time and effort is what you should be seeing it as. Sometimes you see trust as, what do they do for you in a different sense? But time and effort, what did it take for this person to do this? What does it take for someone to even message you, I don't know, 2 hours in the day?
Mm-hmm.
That's 2 hours of their 24 hours gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's still something. So that's why how I gauge trust in a sense. But the main thing of the way I protect myself or the way I pose myself or not to try to be fake about it is always put myself in a case of, will I like you, not will you like me?
Yeah.
Which means if I say, will I like you, I just be myself and we see how we gauge from there. I don't need to be anybody different. I don't need to be anything different.
Mm.
And the same thing that we do with our own person, because we can't fake it, is in a sense, you could if you wanted to, but because we're like meeting people in person and you don't have social media, all you're going to do is just present yourself. You're like you don't know what Instagram's popping off right now, WhatsApp. You just hear articles and what other people say about it.
Yeah.
But actually, you would end up having a persona. Like, obviously now I have a persona, which is Mr. Positive. But actually, Mr. Positive is still just an extension of me.
Yeah.
It's not a different side of me. This is me. So people like, some people say, right, you're on brand. Like, you're actually like, what you post or what you say in the videos, you say it in person. That's mad.
Mm.
I'm like,
what do you expect? Just me though, isn't it?
But it's true. It's like, see, people put a completely different persona on themselves. Mm-hmm. So for me, be yourself. Main thing. It's not about what they think of you, but it's what you think of them in a sense.
Yeah.
And the second part is, don't see trust as just what they do for you and the things that you can imagine in your head. But think about, even if they've been around a lot, what kind of time have they invested into you?
Yeah.
What is their intention behind it as well? And then you can kind of go from there and build trust. Because I've been in relationships where it started on social media first.
Yeah.
So should I limit myself and not be on social media? That means I wouldn't be in a relationship. I wouldn't meet some of my friends. I wouldn't meet some. There's some amazing people.
Well, that's an interesting thing, though. If the people that you meet on social media, what's the level of trust you have for them before you've even met them? Because they're obviously only, as Troy said, they're only really contacting you through DMs or comments on your videos. How much do you actually trust those people?
The things that he said at the beginning, when you speak to someone and you start to pick up things that are related to each other. He's like, yo, so, hey, how you doing? My name is where are you from? Oh, I'm from this place, St. Lucia, Dominica. Or another place. Oh, like, you go back home. He's like, yeah, I go back home often. He's like, it's always mad with the family, man. It's always, and then you start to pick up their passion in their family. Then you start picking up their passion about work or certain topics they like. What are your hobbies and stuff like that? We can ask this, what is your hobbies? Person says, I mean, I have hobbies. Oh, but some people will say, you know what, I have a hobby of painting a lot. Then you sort of, they start showing your paintings. Yes, it's a different way of how we share life with each other.
Yeah.
Because it's through pictures and media, but don't see it as it's nothing. It's still something. Even if the substance feels a bit weaker, it's a bit of a weak source.
Do you not feel the trust level is different though? Again, I'm coming from a perspective of I'm not heavily involved in social media because of those little things. But even like you hear about people being catfished. It's easy talking to someone online and like, yeah, we got all these things in common and blah, blah, blah. And then you feel that kind of connection with them. And then you find out it's some next man, like some next fat man sitting down in like California chatting. Like, you understand what I'm saying? It's like, where does the trust come? For me, the trust can't be the same because you don't know them.
The trust is not the same. And I ain't gonna lie, I've been my main catfish a couple of times. Back in the MSN days, yeah, I got catfished a couple of times. I never met them, for good reason, obviously, because they weren't the person they said. But there's this one, there used to be that one picture, and it's Boom Lighty. And then I was like, but there's about 20 profiles of this Boom Lighty. Which one am I talking to? No, I've got a real one. So I used to get on that video chat, and then you start, oh, yeah, I see it, cool. You're real. But then when they don't want a video chat, it's like, oh, babe's like, I can't. Anyway. We're sidetracking. I completely get it. There is a level of security you need to have in yourself.
Mm.
Certain things, as I said, that you can do to discern people, take a picture, video call, if you ever think there's a catfish thing or something like that.
Mm.
Meet them. And if anything, I encourage people to sometimes, if you are investing time in them on social media, 6 hours a day, speaking to them over the last week, that's something in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
If you're willing to do that 6 hours, maybe you should ask them, are you willing to meet up? And if you're not willing to meet up in the end, then maybe you shouldn't be speaking to them.
Mm.
You understand? Like sometimes we get caught up in social media of instant DMs and stuff like that because it's just the culture now. But actually, you're still investing real time. 1 hour on sitting on your sofa DMing somebody is equivalent to 1 hour when you meet them. But actually, if you say that they're at the level where you can meet them, maybe you should just escalate to that. And if you're not going to meet them, what's your intention?
Mm.
Why should you not be It's investment and intention. These are the two things that makes it very clear as to how you trust people, how you perceive them, either be social media or in person. But in social media, we always have a level of security and stuff. We have to be careful of catfishing, etc. But if you're investing time is time. You understand what I'm saying? So maybe sometimes if you're a bit unsure about people and you want to build up trust, give them a chance, meet them. And then when you meet them, then you start to build up a different relationship. There's levels to this trust because you trust them to open the DMs. Because obviously some people can come to you, just send you some pics on this day. And you're like, no, instant block and delete. But then there's somebody messaged you like, hey, how you doing? But then you replied. And then some people will say, hey, how you doing? How's your day? And it requires more of you. There's different levels. The point is that some people see social media as not a level at all, but there is a level from the get-go of you replying to someone, you invested a bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? That's how I see it.
Cool.
All
right, wrap it up there
if you want.
You.
Cool. So let's leave it, as you know, we leave to leave a little bit of food for thought, which some top tips from us or whichever one. I'll kick it off just to carry on with the same thing. Trust yourself is the main piece to it, firstly. Trust yourself. What is your level of trust you have with yourself? Do you trust yourself with your story, what you have to say, etc.? Then start to trust people a little bit more. Or give them a chance, I should say. Not even challenge them, but try them, you know? God put these people in our life for a reason, so it's worth you trying it out. Don't be fearful of trying to speak to them and giving them a little bit more engaged in what kind of trust there is. That's it.
Cool. I would say trust for me comes with definitely a level of vulnerability. And I think there's no harm in being vulnerable with people. I think that it's important that we are able to at least be vulnerable anyway, because if you're not, you're never going to develop trust with anyone.
Mm.
So I think it's important to just understand how much of yourself you're willing to give to someone else in order to be able to trust them. And I think it's just important just generally for relationships. So anyone that's obviously thinking about anyone that has any trust issues, it's about, I guess, being a little bit more secure in yourself and being able to then be vulnerable with other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. For me, don't be scared to trust. Give trust. And if it doesn't go well, don't be disheartened. Not everyone has the same morals and beliefs in you, you know, that you may believe in. So I'd say, you know, trust. Give it a go, you know. Doesn't work out, but don't then kind of close your heart, you know. Things, like the trust levels are layered, you know. Maybe trust a little bit and divulge a little bit of information that if it was ever going to be used against you, it's not the end of the world. It's cool, you know? And then from that, again, you know how to gauge, do they, you know, can I go a bit further with that person or whatnot? But yeah, trust and try.
It's powerful, it's powerful. All right, so as you know, always want to hear from you guys. What do you class as trust? What do you think trust is? What is your circle of trust? And also the very key part that Simon picked up, how does your trust vary with people in person and in social media? It's a big deal. It's a big part of our lives. We invest time into it. We invest energy into it. It's important to gauge it and understand it. So we want to know, email, text, DMs, don't catfish us. Let us know. Anyway, you know, plug us on socials. This was Craig Riviere, aka Mr. Positive.
Yep, SJ as well.
Troy, innit? Troy
blocks. So yeah, thank you for listening to us and follow us, whichever one, via Talking to My Thoughts. Thank you very much.
Stay blessed.
Peace.